On today's Next Fan Up podcast, you'll hear this.
I mean, I'm going to take criticism any type of way. I always learn from it.
You'll also hear this.
Yeah, like I said, the mental battles you play with yourself on a day-to-day basis, waiting for this and, you know, not knowing what's next is pretty staggering on you.
What in the world could he be referring to?
He cannot be a happy bunny right now.
Find out coming up right now.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Well, when I was preparing for this show, I did not expect the NFL to hand us presents like they did this week, but boy, do we have a lot to cover, and we're just 1 week away from the NFL draft. Hello, everybody. I am Pod Vader. I am joined, as always, by the super fans. We have three of our regulars, and I will bring them in right this moment, plus another super fan who's an old super fan, who's a new super fan, but he's really an old super fan. We'll get to him in a moment. Greg is our Steelers super fan. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Jay. Happy anniversary to me. This is my, I guess, fifth year anniversary of being a super fan.
Do you get anything for that? Is that like the paper anniversary?
Yeah, I think so. Must be. So,
Neil is our Redskins super fan from over in Scotland. Hi, Neil.
Hi, Jay. Congratulations, Greg. And come on, guys, let's go crazy.
And Justin is our Seahawks super fan, our other Thursday regular. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Pod. I am pumped to be on the show this week.
There's lots to be pumped for. And James is joining us. He is one of the original super fans, was replaced, I believe, by Sitko, who obviously took his leave and has now replaced his replacement. He is our Eagles super fan. Hi, James. How are you?
How you doing, Jay? Doing good.
Awesome. So James is obviously here because there's a big draft trade that occurred in the NFL, and we're going to get to that. We'll be talking with Ben, who is our Browns super fan, talk about the Eagles trading up to the number two spot and everything that's involved there. Obviously, Josh Norman was let go by the Carolina Panthers. That's a big story. We're going to get into all that is involved there. There's still some shaky quarterback positions open. I want to get a little bit into that. I also want to dive into our Superfan Super Mock Draft, which I'm sure you've listened to by now. Of course, you can listen to us on iTunes. You can listen to us on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup. And of course, we're now on Google Play as well. But on iTunes, we had this latest review submitted by Castle Long One, who says, Blog Talk Radio is much improved and gave us 4 out of 5 stars, gentlemen. He says 4 stars, not 5, is because sometimes misinformed people get the mic, but that's to be expected with 32 representatives. And they are never misinformed about their own team, only when discussing other teams. And they only have the national media spoon feeding them idiocy to go on. I can't count the number of times I've heard a national quote unquote pundit tell me something about my team that I knew was wrong. I don't mean esoteric stuff. I mean about how that prospect looked in camp before hearing a local reporter say the national quote unquote pundit has not been in camp. I'm trying to say this without mentioning names of pundits. Frankly, that is hard. Fans cut through that crap for their own team. If I wanted to learn about, say, the Lions, that national pundit I know is wrong about my team, has lost all credibility. I trust a guy that is actually a fan of, say, the Lions to be more knowledgeable about them. Oh, and a side note, I've been a longtime listener to Blog Talk Radio. If this only serves as Pod Vader's pet project, etc., it is well worth the all-round improvements in BTR. It also helps that it is a darn good podcast in its own right. There you go, guys. Some backhanded compliments in there for sure. I'm very curious who the pundits are that he's talking about.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an absolutely terrible shot at Greg. Don't worry, Greg. You've got your back.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Neil, I was thinking the same thing. So don't worry.
Oh, that's fantastic. By the way, if you really do think that this is a darn good podcast in its own right, then please nominate us for a podcast award. Go to podcastawards.com. Please follow all the rules there, as there's quite a few, and there's been changes to the way that it's been run previously. I am myself, guys, a 7-time podcast award winner. Just saying.
A couple of guys at that other place would disagree.
they had their part in winning those awards for sure, but I like to claim my spot as well.
Okay.
In any case,
is that your way of just reminding us that you are the Ric Flair of podcast producers?
Oh,
woo! Got that right. High styling and profiling. All right. Enough of that. Podcastawards.com to put in your nomination. Next fan up, we would be very honored and humbled if you nominate our show for the best in sports. And, you know, why not? Let's go for the best. The people's choice. We deserve that nomination as well. All right. Let's get to the news. And it starts with a trade. And let's bring in Ben, who's our Browns super fan, and James, our Eagles super fan. Let's hear what they have to say about this trade. And the Eagles have moved up to the number 2 spot in the NFL draft. They sent 5 draft picks to the Browns, the number 8 pick in the first round, a 3rd-round pick, the 77th overall, a 4th-round pick, 100th overall, a 1st-round pick in 2017, and a 2nd-round pick in 2018. Cleveland will also send a conditional 4th-round pick in 2017 to the Eagles. So the Browns made out like a bandit here, Ben, but my question would be, is it enough for a team that is clearly rebuilding and honestly doesn't really have a quarterback?
Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, when you're looking at all the articles and all the fans' reactions yesterday, everyone was saying that the Browns fleeced the Eagles, and it was such a big coup for the Browns, you know, to get all these picks. But then when you start reading today, you know, all the attention is about how, you know, why can they, how can they, you know, pass on getting a quote unquote franchise quarterback. And so it seems like yesterday was really positive. Today was pretty negative. In terms of like the draft value and all that, I think, you know, it's absolutely fine. You know, I have no qualms with the values that they got and the amount, but it really comes down to is what do they do with those picks? If you look back, you know, we've drafted out of the top 10, like 3 of like the last 4 drafts that we've been in. And, we picked a bunch of crap with that. So it, you know, at the time it looked great, but then when you have Brandon Weeden and Trent Richardson, it looks horrible. So, you got to make, we have to hit on those, and that's the bottom line.
So James, let's look at this from the Eagles perspective. Cause as I look at it, you had a starting quarterback that you have a lot of money in, whether you believe in him or not. Sam Bradford's making a lot of dough. Then you sign a backup quarterback who is the highest paid backup quarterback in the NFL in Chase Daniel. And now you've moved up to number 2 to get, the guy that the LA Rams of St. Louis don't want. So, ooh, I got to imagine you're not feeling too keen about this draft, about this trade.
At first look, no. I figured that we would stay pat with Bradford and Daniel, figure that situation out, let Bradford play out of contract, groom Daniel to the starting role. And if we were going to draft a quarterback, draft someone in the later rounds. I guess they didn't feel the same way. And their reviewing of the process thus far, giving up all these draft picks is definitely a concern, because now for the next 2 years, our first and second round picks all hinge on the 2nd pick overall. In the long run, this may be a good thing, but on the onset right now, just looking at it immediately as far as its initial impact is kind of a head scratcher. Depending on which quarterback we end up with after the Rams make their pick, we'll be groomed into the franchise quarterback for the next 5+ years. But judging by the quarterbacks who've come out, with the exception of last year's draft, in the first round over the last couple of years, there's not much to write home about, save Andrew Luck, who's probably the only bona fide starter still doing anything productive in the league. Don't have high hopes of either one of these 2 quarterbacks. I don't think they're going to be – one of them may be thrown into the fire day one, one may not, maybe both. But their careers definitely something to look at on the college standpoint. How they transition to the pro game, still to be seen. So it is somewhat concerning.
So in the Superfan Super Mock Draft version one, because I don't believe you guys have gone through seven rounds in a second version. And if I know the second version got started, but that got thrown out the window after this trade, you ended up taking a running back and a wide receiver with your third round and fourth round picks. That obviously now can't happen. Do you have enough of a roster to get through this year? Because, and honestly, what it comes down to next year, if you're still a stinker of the team, that first pick is going to Cleveland, who I'm sure is pretty thrilled.
Right. And with no first round pick next year, we have to do well enough to where that pick ends up 20 or below. Otherwise, this deal is not worth it. That's the way I always look at it, especially with our first pick being in the second round. That being said, defensively, I still think we're fine. Offensively, there are some concerns. There has to be a plan somewhere along the way to sign another running back via free agency. Sproles and Matthews are not enough to get the job done, and Matthews has proven that he can't stay healthy for an entire 16 weeks, nor can he be the primary ball carrier. I would like to see us sign a wide receiver. I know we got Ruben Daniels. Wide receiver from the New York Giants. His name escapes me right now.
Ruben Randle.
Thank you. Ruben Randle, which is a nice upgrade on our young core right now, but that may be enough. Running back does still concern me. Offensive line still concerns me because when we were in the eighth slot, I was just convinced we were going to take Stanley from Notre Dame. But, of course, now that's out the window, and obviously we're drafting the quarterback. There are not enough draft picks to round out our roster offensively, and that is somewhat concerning. We can't protect this quarterback, whoever we draft. It's going to be a long season. And if he can't get the ball to any of our wide receivers downfield, it's going to be doubly worse.
Ben, you now drop down to number 13. Rumor has it that the Browns are already trying to maybe try and move back up into the top 10. If you're sitting at 13, though, based on what I'm looking at here, like our Miami Dolphins ended up taking pick 13 in version one of the mock draft and got Jack Conklin, the offensive tackle. Is that sort of what you're resigned to accept at this point? Or are you hoping perhaps another move back into the top 10 and looking for
we have the Eagles pick now. So the number eight, correct? Nothing's happened since I've gotten on the phone.
I'm looking at the wrong sheet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No worries. So are you looking for my reaction or what I'm looking for at number eight?
I'm looking for, what are you now looking for in the draft? Are you looking at defense? Are you maybe looking at one of the other quarterbacks? A lot of Paxton Lynch talk here. As soon as now that the two quarterbacks are being taken, one and two, or at least assumed that the top two picks are going to be the quarterbacks in Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. What are you hoping? How are you hoping things shake out now for the Browns?
Oh, man, if we were to get Paxton Lynch at number eight, I would probably throw up. I'm not a big fan of his at all, just to be honest. He just kind of seems like a ponder or like a Cousins or, you know, just, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not into him. At number eight, I'm really hoping one of the big eight of the stars kind of fall, whether it be Buckner or Bosa. Bosa would be the dream. I would love for one of those guys to fall. If not one of those, I'm looking probably for even Miles Jack. I'd be thrilled with that. If one of those three don't fall, I'm probably looking to move back a little bit. And then I'm targeting one of the main wide receivers, whether it be Treadwell or Coleman or something like that. That's what I'm looking for. If we were to end up with the right tackle, I mean, that kind or some sort of tackle like maybe Taylor Decker out of Ohio State, I think that makes a lot of sense. That would kind of, you know, just because I think we're going to need a right tackle, it's unfortunate that, you know, we mess around in free agency and let Mitchell Schwartz walk for nothing. And then to use a premium resource to fill what we already had with the Pro Bowl right tackle, I mean, it's pretty stupid. But we need a right tackle. We need somebody to handle the pass rush. And if we're going to have a young quarterback, we need someone to protect him or open in a hole. I've heard a lot of Zeke talk, which, you know, I'm a huge Ohio State fan, but I'm never in favor of drafting a running back in the top 50 picks. I just don't think it's worth it, even though I think he's a stud. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. I'm looking another guy that I wouldn't mind is Billings, the nose tackle out of Baylor. I know last year we used our first-round pick on Danny Shelton, but I think I don't think you can ever have enough, like, big uglies up front to really kind of fortify that D-line outside of Danny Shelton, who had an up-and-down rookie season. We don't really have anything else. We have Xavier Cooper, who didn't play a ton last year. He's kind of like a penetrating defensive end, so I think he has some promise. But outside of that, the cupboard's pretty bare. So that's kind of what I'd be looking at.
All right, let's bring in some of your division mates here. Greg, how do you look at the Browns now from the Steelers' perspective?
Well, I mean, I like the move for them because I think they have a lot of holes and they're going to have a lot of chances to fill them. It's probably not good for the rest of the division 5 years down the road or whatever. But, I mean, from their moves, they aren't a real player this year, but they're doing all the right steps to rebuild and replenish that roster with everything they need.
And Neil, how are you looking at the Eagles right now?
I don't have any problem at all with a team moving up and making a gutsy move, making a big splash to try and get a quarterback. I think we've tried that. It didn't work for us in the first round. It worked for us later on. I think there's a concern here, isn't there? When you look back at the last, five NFL drafts at the first-round quarterbacks, I think there's been 14 first-round quarterbacks, of which I think you've got about, Newton, Luck, Bortles, and Bridgewater, who are cemented sort of starters, with Winston and Mariota probably cemented starters. But at the same time, in that same time period, you've got Andy Dalton, Tyrod Taylor, Brock Osweiler, Russell Wilson, and Kirk Cousins, and Derek Carr, all going in later rounds, also cemented starters. So I think it's a tough one for the Eagles. I think they had to do something. I think what I'd like to know from James is Bradford staying or is Bradford going? Because he cannot be a happy bunny right now.
From my perspective, I'm not even concerned about his happiness. I was very upset, actually, when they re-signed him to that huge two-year contract. I didn't understand that signing, if this was going to come on down the pipe, especially with all the speculation that ended up being true of them signing Chase Daniels. Sam Bradford being retained was completely unnecessary. Now, they want to, I don't know, help him prove that he is a bona fide starter so another team can use him later on down the road and be trade bait. That's something fine, maybe, but then you make this trade and all of that goes out the window. So, this is a head scratcher. Both quarterback signings, trading up for the number two pick. I mean, you're trading up to two. Obviously, you're taking Wentz or Goff, depending on who the Rams leave behind. And the way this is playing out, only the Eagles front office knows what's going on. I mean, with Howie Roseman back in charge, I figure things will play out. We'd stay at number eight, solidify the offensive line, build through the draft and later rounds like we've done in the past under the old Andy Reid regime. But someone in there has a gut feeling of something about one of these two quarterbacks and wants to pull the trigger on it. So here we are. My concern going into the next season is just, you know, consistency on offense, more ball control, giving the defense time to rest, and hopefully let them get back up to at least middle of the pack as far as total defense to allow them to do what they do, because we do have a lot of studs on defense who never really got the time to shine because they were on the field too much last year. And going back to a West Coast type system should help. So, but honestly, Justin, I still think we should be focused on offensive line and running back.
Justin, as a team that doesn't really have a dog in the hunt here, what's your perspective from out on the West Coast on this trade?
Just a quick history lesson, guys. Since 1990, there have been, I think, six quarterbacks that teams traded up into the top 12 to select. Those quarterbacks are RG3, Mark Sanchez, Mike Vick, Ryan Leaf, Kerry Collins, and Jeff George. History does not reflect very well on this move. Maybe this will be the kind of unique one, but doesn't look good from a historical perspective, guys.
So before we get into the Josh Norman talk, I do want to sort of revisit this. You know, the quarterback situation is an interesting one in the NFL right now. Ryan Fitzpatrick still without a job, although he was seen hanging out with some of his Jets teammates at a New York Rangers game just recently. The Jets still haven't signed him. They hosted Brian Hoyer, who was cut by the Texans. Hoyer visited the Jets, but he left New York, and he's now visiting with the Denver Broncos, who are obviously still without a quarterback. But Broncos don't seem to want to pay anybody for a quarterback. So this brings me back to you, James, where you have two quarterbacks that may or may not be, let's just say, overpriced. I can't foresee. Here's my problem with your trade and taking the quarterback of the future is that you can't let that number one pick sit on your bench. You just can't. And that means you got to trade away at least Sam Bradford. And since he's already unhappy and his in the contract situation that he's at, I just feel like, I mean, you guys just shot yourself and ruined that franchise for a few years.
Absolutely. But let's flash back to about, say, a month or so ago. I see a headline that says Eagles trade quarterback to Denver. And I'm jumping for joy because I'm thinking it's Sam Bradford. And it ended up being Mark Sanchez. So my heart sank because here we are. We still have Sam Bradford, and we signed him to a contract. $32 million guaranteed. It's today's NFL, the number one draft pick quarterback, especially top five overall, can't sit on the bench his first year. He has to play. You look at the last 5 years, every quarterback drafted within that range of 1 through 5 has started day one for their respective teams. Whoever we draft, I mean, he has to start. Unless there's a suitor out there who really wants to pick up Sam Bradford's contract, honestly don't see it sticking right now. I mean, he's ours, no matter who we draft at quarterback between Goff and Wentz. So Denver can come calling and take Bradford off our hands also with Sanchez, but I don't see that happening. I thought maybe the Texans may have made a run at a quarterback, but when they got Denver's former backup, that pretty much worked in their favor. So they don't need a quarterback now. And as far as the Jets go, they're pretty much content on sitting back and waiting for Ryan Fitzpatrick to go around to all his possible suitors and come back and take the deal that they're pretty much stuck on, you know, making him take, which he doesn't truly want. So no one's going to pay his price. He probably has no choice but to go back to the Jets. And we're stuck with three quarterbacks, two of which, like you said, are overpaid.
You know, I'm looking at overthecap.com right now in terms of salary cap space. The Broncos only have a little over $6 million left in salary cap, which is probably why they're not wanting to pay any quarterbacks. I'm sure there's ways that they could make the accounting work to free up a little bit more money. But it's an interesting situation the Broncos in. The Jets is a team, again, they're also light on cap space with only 2.8 million cap space, according to overthecap.com for 2016. That seems to be, I guess, the biggest issue for those two teams that are clearly the front runners looking for quarterbacks right now. I mean, I'm going to pose this to you, Justin, as you gave us those phenomenal quarterback stats for the draft. Who would you rather have? Brian Hoyer, Ryan Fitzpatrick, or Mark Sanchez as your starting quarterback?
I mean, for me, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's the only one who has demonstrated any real level of success in the league, both what he did last year and for some pretty good stretches in Buffalo. I don't think you can say the other guys are in any way, shape, or form prospects that they necessarily have upside at this point of their careers. You just have to look at what they've done, and Fitzpatrick has done way, way more than those two.
All right, Greg, I'm going to give you Brian Hoyer, Ryan Fitzpatrick, or Geno Smith.
I'm going to go Brian Hoyer all day. And a major reason is I feel like this guy played pretty well last year until the playoffs. And by the way, he was the only one of this in this conversation that was in the playoffs. He got his team there. He had a rocky road all season fighting for the job, but he played good enough to keep that team that was offensively challenged in the hunt. And from what I understand, because I am just listening to pundits, Fitzpatrick's numbers were inflated because of his wide receiving core. And he threw up a lot of jump balls, and everyone knows what happened in the last game of the season. So I think Brian Hoyer is not, you know, a top 10 quarterback or anything, but I think he's good enough with the right defense and everything to win. And I don't know why Denver hasn't jumped on him for a couple million dollars. I mean, he's clearly the best guy available for anyone's options.
Neil, I am going to give you Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brian Hoyer, Jared Goff, or Carson Wentz.
Oh, can I pick one of the first two or both of the first two on eBay?
Wow.
That's pretty funny. That's good. That's well done.
I think,
come on, you gotta make a pick.
I think in terms, okay. Hey. In terms of those players, I really like Carson Wentz. I'll take Carson Wentz all day long. I think he's got the arm, he's got the intangibles. He sounds really great when you hear him talk. Sounds well-grounded. Yeah, good player. I don't care of the level of competition he was playing. I see a star player there. I think Philadelphia, for all the terrible picks they're giving up and all the rest of it, it's Carson Wentz for me.
I gave you that scenario because that's exactly what the LA Rams of St. Louis have facing them. And All reports are that Jared Goff is going to be their pick, which will bring Carson Wentz to Philadelphia. And James, how do you feel about either of the rookie quarterbacks?
They'll definitely have a lot to prove. I haven't really done too much scouting on them because, again, this trade just came out of nowhere, and I was content with the eighth pick. But from the little knowledge that I have absorbed about both of them, they're a lot of upside. They're both, you know, prototype quarterbacks. They're tall in the pocket, amazing arms, can get the ball downfield on a rope. Nothing really stands out as far as too spectacular about them. I haven't seen that, I don't know, that extra dimension to them that makes them stand apart from the rest of the quarterbacks in this class, other than that they're the best two prospects. Nothing really savvy about them. They're pretty much solid draft picks, no matter how you go one or two with either of them. And as long as they can adapt to the speed of the game and the head coaches do a good job of implementing the game plan around them, then they'll do well. I do see whoever the Rams take starting more quickly than whoever the Eagles pick, just with our current quarterback situation of Daniel and Bradford still on the contract. So if our rookie beats out Bradford in preseason, that would be awesome. If not, I can see him sitting for maybe the first 5-6 weeks, depending on how we play out from there. And if Bradford looks like he did in the beginning of last year, as opposed to the end of last year, he could be sitting the pine and put up for trade at the end of the season.
All right. So I'm at overthecap.com right now because Josh Norman was released by the Carolina Panthers. He was franchised. The Panthers decided they could not come to a long-term agreement with the cornerback. And now obviously teams are scrambling to try and acquire his services. Now the teams that were listed as front runners were the 49ers, which makes sense because they could use him and they have a ton of cap space. I'm trying to remember exactly the order of the teams. Greg, let's put it this way. The Steelers were listed as a possible option, which I find kind of interesting and would obviously be the best fit for Josh Norman. I just don't know. The Steelers right now have $3 million in cap space.
I mean, they have $3 million in cap space right now. They haven't done any of that restructuring, kicking the can down the road a bit. And they've done that on purpose this year, trying to manage their cap a little bit more responsibly. They're actually in a really good situation because they have contracts like Roethlisberger, Timmons, Pouncey Haywood, and DeCastro, which are all four, their top five of their top six cap numbers. So they could easily extend or restructure, which I think for DeCastro, they're planning on extending him because he's on his fifth-year bonus. So they have a lot of wiggle room where they can push it around with that proration and stuff. I think they could easily get the cap space if they wanted to. The thing that no one is bringing up with the Steelers, though, is Antonio Brown is dancing himself all over Hollywood, and he wants a new contract, and he's buying million-dollar houses and stuff. He's looking like he's heading towards getting an extension or holding out, and I think that's what the Steelers are waiting for. I think they'd love to bring in a corner like Norman. Just like last year, they entertained the idea of bringing in a guy like Revis, but they're going to bring him in for half of his market value. They don't pay for other teams' free agents. And I just don't know about the fit in the Steelers defense. I mean, the Steelers like to be pretty multiple in their coverages. They like to play a lot of zone. They play a lot of bump and run man. And I don't know. I mean, everything from what I understand about Norman is that he's strictly a zone corner. And maybe he can play a little bump and man, but, I mean, are you really going to pay $15 million or whatever for a guy that might not be a scheme fit like the Eagles did a few years with that corner from the Raiders? Oswa?
Right.
Oh, wow.
Namdi.
Don't mention Osama. That name. No. Mm-mm, please. Bad memories. Nightmares.
Neil, Washington was another team as listed as a leader expressing the most interest in Josh Norman. Obviously, as a Redskins fan, I'm sure you would love to see Josh Norman there. I just, from Josh Norman's perspective, I'm not sure Washington's one of my must-be destinations.
Yeah, no, it's a difficult one to see him deciding to come to Washington. Unless for him it's all about the money, which it may well be. But, you know, in terms of the salary cap, yeah, we can make space. You know, every team can probably make space if they really want the guy. It's that sort of attitude of money doesn't matter tonight and sure didn't matter yesterday, and it probably won't matter tomorrow either. I would like Norman. I think he plays more. Yeah, I think he follows the number one wide receiver much more than we actually think he does. He's a quality player. My concern with him is probably his age and giving him a long-term deal. I think he's going to be turning 29 during the season. And to give a five-year contract to a guy at 29 playing that position after, what, one very, very good season? One outstanding season. Bit of a risk. I think Greg suggested on Slack a two-year deal for 30-odd million, something along the lines of Darrell Revis. I think that's probably a very wise decision for a team.
You know, Justin, you're a team that has a bunch of cornerbacks, and Brandon Browner rejoined the Legion of Boom. What are your thoughts here? Obviously, the Seahawks would not be in the market for Josh Norman.
No, I think the best fit is probably the Niners. They have a lot of money available, and as we saw with Chip Kelly and our old buddy Byron Maxwell, he's not afraid to spend a bunch of money on a corner, even if it's not a good fit. Although I will say I did just throw out kind of to the group what a path to the Seahawks would look like. I figured that was kind of my responsibility as a Seahawks super fan. Of course, I was lambasted substantially, and I'm still hurting from it. But I think that most teams, you can find some kind of path, even if it's not necessarily realistic. Like for us, what I at least suggested was, if because it's solely in free agency, all the teams, for the most part, have spent the money that they're going to spend. If Josh Norman is left with the choice of maybe just taking, you know, $12 million a year over multiple years, or doing kind of a one-year, maybe $10 million prove-it deal, no situation would make him look better than playing the Seahawks secondary. I mean, we've seen that with Brandon Browner and Byron Maxwell. You can make so-so players look incredible in this defense and then cash in next year. Of course, I was mocked incessantly and laughed out of the building, but that was at least what that path would look like. But again, I think he's probably a Niner.
Just to say, one of the bonuses of him coming to Washington would be that we would give him an unlimited supply of baseball to chase Odell Beckham Jr. around the field twice a year.
Yeah, I have a question for Justin. It has to do with the fit, a fit for Norman in the Seahawks defense, but more of what Gus Bradley's trying to do in Jacksonville. Because I kind of have, in my own opinion, Jacksonville has all the cap space in the world. They need a defender. And how would Norman fit into the Seahawks style defense if he was offered a huge contract by Jacksonville?
It's tough. The Seahawks play kind of a hybrid zone man scheme, and usually what that means is that they'll have the number one guy play man and the number two guy play zone on the other side of the field. So he might struggle a little bit in that number one role just because it's really all physical press man for the most part, a little bit of bump and run, and that's not his best skill set. You know, he's maybe a parallel we could draw is he's more the Antonio Cromartie than the Darrell Revis if you look at the really good Jets secondaries from a few years ago. I just don't think he's built for a number one in the Seahawks type of defense.
Still, if I'm Josh Norman and I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, I feel like this is a marriage made in heaven because the Jaguars do have the money to pay him. He would be a difference maker for that team. It would definitely, I believe, bring them up over the hump in the AFC South for sure. I just don't understand why they're not even listed as a team interested. The other teams listed here, and this is a report from Adam Schefter, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which makes some sense, the New York Jets, which makes literally no sense in the world, the Chicago Bears, which makes sense, and the Tennessee Titans is the other team out of the ones mentioned previously. I don't believe I mentioned Miami, that if I'm Josh Norman, the Titans intrigues me. The other teams, not so much. James, what do you think?
It's kind of baffling. The teams are pretty much all over the place. I know when he was first released, I saw a report that said he was interested in going to play in California, was his top choice. So that pretty much put the 49ers on the map. And there was speculation that maybe Oakland might get into it. And when I heard Oakland and I'm thinking if he's interested, that could pretty much show up a nice young stout defense with the pass rush. They just signed Bruce Irving. They already have one solid corner and putting Norman on the other side would show up that secondary a little bit. I'm not sure if they have the cap space to do it. With the teams you just mentioned, Tampa Bay probably makes the best sense if that's mutual interest between the two teams. Jacksonville also makes some sense as well. Chicago, I don't see because they've struggled ever since Lovie Smith's departure, and the Jets just don't have the cap room. They're still waiting on Fitzpatrick, and I don't think there's anything else in their radar right now other than that. As mentioned earlier, most of the teams have pretty much spent what they're going to spend on free agencies for free agents to come in. So for Norman, especially with him wanting to make top dollar in the range of, you know, Revis and Sherman, he may not get a deal this time around. It may be after the draft when free agents are starting to be picked up based on how teams evaluate their draft and who they have in camp. But I don't see him getting a deal anytime soon with what he's asking for.
And the other thing that I have to ask is what do the Panthers know? Because the Panthers have the fourth most cap space this year. And again, I'm on overthecap.com. Great site, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. The Panthers will have the sixth most cap space next year. And in 2018, they still have the fifth most cap space, at least based on current salaries. So what do the Panthers know about Josh Norman that nobody else does that they won't sign him because they've got the space to do it?
Well, I think they know his attitude. I mean, I rewatched that Odell Beckham game where Beckham took the cheap shot at him. And let's just clear one thing up here. Beckham, you know, acted horrible in that game, but Norman gave him plenty of reasons to go after his head, too. I mean, they were jawing at each other the whole game. They were fighting. And Norman's been a little outspoken. I just think they know what type of guy he is, and maybe they just don't want to deal with him anymore. I mean, not like he gets in trouble off the field, but maybe he's a headache during the week. That's what I thought it was a sign of.
But that Beckham situation is probably an outlier. I mean, corners and wide receivers trash talk all game, and for Beckham to lose his head and go after Norman the way he did in that game is a bit uncalled for. Yeah, Norman may have been running his mouth, but what corner in the league doesn't run their mouth? You know, the you talk about two of the most diva positions in the league, corners and wide receivers jawed each other all game, and I'm pretty sure nothing friendly is said in between the lines. So, I mean, if talk is what got Beckham riled up, I can't see Norman really being to blame for that. He's doing what every corner does. And not that it's excusable, but it's pretty much accepted behavior. As far as what the Panthers know, who knows? Norman is, what, going to be 29 this year?
He's pretty much nearing that dreaded 3-0, which, you know, starts to decline for a lot of players in the league. They also could be trying to stockpile money to, you know, maybe up Cam Newton's deal at some point in the future. But outside of something internally that only they know about, I can't see what it could be that, you know, they're willing to let him walk to try to get a deal elsewhere.
Well, I know there have been some other red flags with Josh Norman. I mean, I think it was last year in camp that he tried to get into a fist fight with Cam Newton, which, good luck, Josh Norman, with that one. The last player to have the tag rescinded was actually Leroy Hill of my Seahawks. And Greg and I were having a great conversation about that yesterday. And, you know, the reason why that went down is during the offseason, Hill was arrested. I think it was a marijuana possession in Seattle. And so the tag was rescinded. And he eventually did end up back with the team because nobody wanted to touch him after that. On a lesser deal that the Seahawks were able to then the next year change again, reducing him from a $6 million base to a $2.5 million base. All this happened. There definitely was stuff going on in the background. So that is something to keep an eye on.
All right. So that's Josh Norman. I do want to get into our super fan super mock draft, but I do feel that it's time to bring in our special guests. I did a couple of interviews with some draft prospects earlier this week, and I want to play those here. Three guys, all right now, according to the pundits, quote unquote, targeted for the late rounds. There is one of these guys, though, that since we even did this interview, his stock seems to be rising a little bit. So let's talk to Brandon Jackson, the defensive end linebacker from Texas Tech, Jarrell Presley, the running back from New Mexico, and Russell Hansborough, the running back from Missouri. All right, my pleasure to bring on one of our first special guests of this episode. He is a defensive end, or he could be a linebacker. I hope you're paying attention, you 3-4 teams out there. And there's one in particular. I hope you're really paying attention, New England. This gentleman's name is Brandon Jackson. He is a former defensive end for Texas Tech. How's that feel saying former, Brandon?
It's so weird. I was just talking to a couple of my friends about this, the first time that we hadn't been a part of a team in since, what, we were 8 years old. It's just a weird feeling.
Talk to me about preparing for the draft, everything that goes through it, you know, everything that you've been through. You were one of those that was invited to the combine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was one of those fortunate enough to get invited to the combine. And just preparing for the draft and everything up until after pro day, it's pretty easy. You work hard, you grind, you do the things that you would do if you were getting ready for the next college season. And the tough part is the part that you're going through now, the waiting. They're trying to stay in shape and be ready for the possibilities.
You know, ever since they've moved the draft back, you know, we're a show by the fans for the fans. And, you know, from my fan perspective with the NFL draft, you know, I want it sooner. I can only imagine as a player, you really want it sooner.
Yeah, like I said, the mental battles you play with yourself on a day-to-day basis, waiting for this and, you know, not knowing what's next is pretty staggering on you.
So let's talk a little bit about football. I mean, what are some of the things that you're going to bring to a team that's going to draft you, you know, come next weekend?
I'm just going to bring durability, hard work and effort, and a guy who is very versatile and willing to play any position you put him at. I think I'll get on a team and bring to an organization just the mindset that you want in a defensive player.
Talk to me a little bit about, you know, you're a player right now. If you look at some of the mock drafts out there, some of the scouting reports, they've got you tagged for the end of the draft, maybe undrafted. Would you prefer to be a drafted player or an undrafted player with the freedom to sign, you know, with another team, whichever team you wanted?
That's such an interesting topic because, you know, being an athlete growing up, you always dreamed of hearing your name called and them playing your highlight on TV. It's just something that you always dreamed of. But then when you get down to the logistics of it and you think about it and just fits and things like that, sometimes it's just better to go undrafted. So I'm not going to say I'd rather be not drafted, but undrafted is not as bad as people may think.
I'm not going to ask you the question about what team you're hoping to draft you, because I'm sure you just want to be drafted by whatever team thinks that you can bring, that you can perform for them.
Absolutely.
But what I will ask, you know, who are some of the guys that you've looked through the years, you know, watching professional football, even guys maybe in the college ranks that, you know, that have helped shaped and molded your career?
Honestly, I've just watched the J.J. Watt, you know, just, I mean, he mentioned his name and what the position I play just speaks numbers. I watch Michael Bennett Jr. from Seattle. I mean, another player who, being a defensive end, you know, speaks to why I would watch him. And the thing those both players do is they play multiple positions. And like I said, they're some of the best on the defensive line in the NFL. And then the awkward person that I would watch that people might not think is the tackle out of the Redskins, Trent. Trent is a guy who has family members who went to Tech. And so I heard all about how big and how massive he was, a person that I haven't yet got to meet, but I'm real close with his family members. And being an offensive tackle and being one of the best in the league, it was always interesting to sit back. And although his family was displaying highlights, I was taking notes on how to potentially beat one of the best in the NFL.
How do you plan on spending next weekend, Brandon?
I'll probably spend next weekend in the closet with some headphones on, watching the draft on my iPad. Just away from everyone.
In the closet, away from everyone. You don't want to be with the family watching on the big screen, just on the little iPad?
My family will be out there watching it on the big screen, but I'm just... It's just a nerve-wracking process, and like I said, just not knowing. The unknowing is just something that when I'm not sure what's going on, I like to confide in myself and surround myself with more of myself and kind of just lock in. And I can't do that with my mom. She'll be jumping around and asking questions and screaming and hollering, and what are they thinking? I just don't want to do that.
Awesome. Well, Brandon, thanks for joining us today on the show. Good luck to you next weekend, and I hope to talk to you again down the road.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
All right. Our next guest is another former college player. This time, the former running back from New Mexico. His name is Jarrell Presley. Jarrell, how does that former sound to you?
Yeah, making me sound like I never even played football. Like I'm done. I'm over with it. I don't like that word. Former, just running back from University of New Mexico. Jarrell Presley.
Well, I know that's exactly what you're hoping to hear next weekend. You know, I do want to kind of start there, though. I mean, where is the love for you, my friend? I'm reading all of this, you know, mock draft stuff, all the experts, but you're a much better player than what you're getting credit for right now.
Yeah, I don't have any control of any of that. All I have control of what I can do it. I determine how fast I run, determine how strong I am, determine how good I'm going to play. So I can't worry about what other people think or say. All I can do is just prove to people that I'm good enough and I can play with anybody.
I love it. That's the right mindset heading into the draft. Let's talk about the one thing that I've read that's pretty consistent, that's been sort of listed as a criticism of your game, is, you know, you liked to bounce the ball to the outside a little too much. Now, with your speed, I don't think that would be that much of a problem, but that I believe that's something that could be coachable. What do you say to that sort of criticism?
I mean, I'm going to take criticism any type of way. I always learn from it, but most people don't know the scheme that I was in. My plays was to go outside because that was my best ability, was running outside and beating people to the corner. So as far as people saying I bounce the balls most of the time, that was my scheme. I get the ball and plays are made for me to go outside. I can run in between tackles, and I've shown that. So it all, again, I cannot tell people how to say things or what they do. All I can do is just prove to them I can do it.
I love it. All right. here's a, you know, as a player that's right now sort of slated for the later part of the draft, I asked this of our other guest, Brandon Jackson. Are you more looking forward to being drafted or perhaps going undrafted and having the freedom to maybe sign in a place where you might be a better fit?
I mean, everybody who dreams or goal is to go in the NFL wants to be drafted to hear their name. I would love to hear my name to be drafted, but if in the case of if it don't, I still have a good option of going with a team that would need me versus a team that just picks me up. So either way, it's a win-win situation for me. So I'm not angry about anything. It's just I'm looking forward to the situation that's coming up next week.
How many teams have you had any conversations with? I know two teams were at your pro day. Have you talked to any other teams besides the Cardinals and the Panthers?
Yes, I talked to a couple other teams. So a lot of teams like me. They like what I'm doing right about now. A lot of teams saying I'm a sleeper. So I'm going to just wait until draft day to figure out who really going to take a chance on me. And if somebody really don't, I have some teams in mind that I want to take a chance on. So it's looking good right about now.
I like it. Here's a question from one of our other guys on the show. He wanted to know, would you prefer to be picked by a successful franchise with less playing time but great development time, or a rebuilding franchise where there are plenty of spots that you can contend for a role in?
Repeat the first question one more time.
So if you were, would you prefer to be on a successful franchise that might have less playing time but great development time, or a rebuilding franchise where there are plenty of spots available to contend for?
I'm going to go with option A. Only reason why, because it's always best to improve the game and learn from a great coach how to be a better player. And then for option B, I wouldn't take that, just because being on a rebuilding team, it's going to be, it's nothing that nobody can do. It's going to be more difficult. You probably won't get the most out of it. You're not going to be on a great team. You're going to be on a team that's coming up, that's going to be on the downside for a couple of years. I mean, I experienced that in my lifetime, so I know how to do both. So I would like to try to be on a successful team so I can learn the game better, and then I can be on a team that I can rebuild and stuff like that.
How do you see yourself in the NFL? I mean, obviously, you're gonna have to go out there and prove yourself. But how would you define yourself as a running back? Are you an all around back? Are you a change of pace back? I mean, how are your hands, Jarrell?
Oh, I have great hands. I mean, if I got to get the chance to show people I got great hands, but I believe I'm a little bit more of a change of pace back and an all-around back. Pretty much, I like getting the ball out of the backfield, running the ball, little swing passes, getting me in an open field. I mean, just change of pace. Like, I'm pretty fast, so if you get out there, we got a downhill runner, and then you just put a speedy guy who can catch the ball, who can get out there and make plays when he don't have the ball. So I'm pretty much an all-around back, but a change of pace back at two.
I got to tell you, we're a podcast by the fan, for the fan, and my team is the New England Patriots. I think you'd be a great fit in New England in their running back core. What do you think of New England?
I believe so, too. Just because that question you asked me, New England is a great team that's one of the top teams, and I feel like I can learn a lot from New England, and I probably won't get as much playing time, but it would be building my character and building my player IQ up even better. So when I get a chance to get on the field, sky's the limit.
I like it. I like it. What are your plans for draft weekend, Jarrell? Where are you going to be?
I'll be in Delaware with my family, home in Delaware.
Excellent. Now, when we were talking to Brandon, he said he's going to lock himself in a closet, put some headphones on, and watch the draft on his iPad. Is that going to be you, or are you going to be watching it on the big screen?
No, sir. I will not be watching the draft. It's going to feel like it's a Saturday, so we usually have every Sunday dinner. So my family just going to come over. We're going to have a Saturday dinner and just wait for the call. I just want to be around my people who love me, and I love them. So just have a Saturday dinner. I mean, I know some of my family members are going to be watching it on the other room, but I'll be eating, enjoying the family company and everything.
Awesome. Well, Jarrell, good luck to you. I'm pretty sure we're going to be hearing your name at some point next weekend. And, selfishly, I hope it's my team that's calling your name.
Man, I hope so, too. I mean, that would be a blessing.
Our last guest here is the former running back of Missouri. His name is Russell Hansborough. Russell, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I don't mean to say that you're a former running back. You're just formerly of the University of Missouri, because you're still clearly a running back and you're getting ready for the draft coming up next weekend. Well, talk to me a little bit about preparing for the draft. What have you gone through these past few months?
It's just a long waiting process, I would say. It's a good thing you only go through it once, because it's kind of stressful at times. You get kind of anxious at times and things like that. So it's a good thing that you only go through it once, but it's also a good experience in itself too.
Now, I've seen a few people have listed you as, perhaps a late round draft steal. You had a very solid junior year. You struggled through your senior year with a high ankle sprain. How is the ankle?
I'm 100% healthy now, so that's out the window.
That's always good to hear. Talk to me though about that struggle with the injury. It's something that football players have to do quite a bit. What was that like for you, struggling through the injury?
I mean, struggling with that injury, it was very difficult, because it was my senior year and I was just trying to push myself to get back out there on the field with my teammates. Because we weren't really doing that well as an offense. So I felt like it was probably me not being out there. So I really struggled with that in my mind, with just trying to get healthy first and then getting back on the field.
How about, you mentioned, during this draft preparation, sort of the weight and the pressure of this time period. Talk to me a little bit about your pro day. I was reading an article online about some of the things that you said about your pro day.
I thought I did pretty good. It was a lot of scouts out there, so I was just very anxious to be out there, because I didn't get a combine invite or like one of those senior bowl invites. So I knew I only had one chance just to prove myself to the scouts and things like that. So I think I did pretty well.
Have you had any meetings with teams? How have those gone?
No, sir. I really haven't had any meetings, but teams have been calling and texting and things like that, been contacting my agent. So, yeah.
What do you think is the biggest thing you'll bring to a team if you're drafted next weekend?
I would say just being a change of pace back. Just me being, I'm pretty explosive and things like that. So I've also, once I know I can learn the playbook and things like that, I know talent and things like that will take care of itself with me on the field.
Now, we're a podcast by the fan for the fan, and one of the questions from one of our guys was, would you rather be picked by a successful franchise with less playing time or a rebuilding franchise where there's plenty of opportunities to compete for a role position?
Honestly, at this point, I really don't care where I play or who I play for. Just as long as that I'm out there on the team, and that's just a blessing on its own. So I really haven't even thought about anything like that, honestly. Just anytime somebody asks me a question of that nature, I just always say that it really doesn't matter what team that I'm on, because I can't really just see myself until my name is called or somebody call me, that I don't really know what team that I will be on or playing for.
Who are some of the players you grew up watching and that you try to emulate in your game?
When I was young, I used to watch LaDainian Tomlinson, Reggie Bush in college, Javid Best from Cal, who also played for the Lions, people like that. And then as I grew older and when I got to high school, I started noticing my build and how and what type of running back I was. So I started watching people like Darren Sproles, Doug Martin, Amir Abdullah, and people like that.
Who would you say has had the biggest impact on your playing career?
On my playing career? I would say my parents have, because they've always kept my head up when I've had my downfalls and things like that. So they've really, like, kept me focused throughout the whole process of me going through school and also playing football.
What are your plans on draft weekend? What will you be doing?
I'll be hanging around my family and things like that. I'm home just hanging with my family. I'll probably go fishing, probably go to the movies and things like that, just to try to, like, keep my mind off of it and things like that. Just be waiting for a phone call.
Go to the movies. What's going to happen when, you know, you're watching the movie, it's the big climax, and all of a sudden you get that call? What are you going to do?
I'm going to just leave out. I'll watch the movie later.
Excellent. Well, Russell, good luck to you next weekend. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and hope to talk to you again somewhere down the road.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. So a little bit of insight into how these guys are going to be watching the draft. I thought it was interesting. They're all going to be watching it differently. Brandon will be holed up in a closet with headphones on, watching on his iPad while the rest of his family is watching on the big screen. Jarrell Presley saying they won't be watching it. They'll be having a big dinner. So he'll be with his loved ones. And by the way, he's the one that's moving up the draft charts, the running back from New Mexico. When I first talked to him, it looked like he was a seventh rounder. Now I'm seeing mocks that have him in the sixth round, maybe the fifth round. And I mentioned it to him. He'd look great in a New England Patriots uniform. And Russell Hansbrough, the running back from Missouri, who won't be watching the draft at all, and mentioned he'll be going to the movies during the draft, which I also find interesting. You know, it's got to be tough for these guys. Neil, you had sent me a question to ask that I didn't get a chance to ask them. You know, guys that are getting drafted this late or targeted for getting drafted this late in the draft, how do they balance, you know, their love and desire of football and to be a professional football player and, you know, the reality that they may have to come to accept that, you know, they have to go out in the real world?
Yeah, it's you know, the guys who are picked in the first couple of rounds, they probably have been pampered and spoiled and got driven everywhere to all their games and training and terrific support from teams. But those guys who are right on the edge, down in the lower rounds, still phenomenal athletes, great, great athletes. And yet, it must be tough on themselves. It must be tough on their families to have to keep that willpower and momentum going as they strive to make the league. I kind of really, you know, really looking forward to seeing where those guys go, and really wish them well.
Anybody got jerseys for any of these guys?
Sign me up for the running back.
Yeah, Jarrell Presley. My team doesn't have any draft picks.
Oh, that's well done, James. That's well done. Well, speaking of draft picks, as I mentioned, we did the Superfan Super Mock Draft. Version one went 1 through 7. So we did all 7 rounds. And if you haven't listened to our podcast that recapped the first round, where have you been? Please go back to iTunes or blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup and give those shows a listen. It's a two-parter. We do 1 through 16, and then we do 17 through 31. Obviously, we're missing a draft pick this year in the first round, but we do talk to all the teams that do not have first-round picks, as there were a couple of teams that traded themselves out besides the Patriots, who were punished and not allowed to have a first-round pick unjustly, but that's a different podcast. Let's talk about some of these later rounds and what you guys ended up doing. James, obviously a lot of your hard work got erased by the current trade. But who were some of the guys you ended up drafting even later in the Super Mock Draft?
I forgot that the mock draft was going past the first round. So I know we didn't have a second round pick because that was sent in the Bradford trade last year. Third and fourth round, I did have us targeting at least another running back or wide receiver. I'm not sure who was available at those slots, but since they're gone now, that's pretty much mute. If I could look at 6 and 7, we're pretty much looking at special teams guys, mostly who could, you know, be core backups. I haven't really studied the draft too in depth beyond the first and second round players. I know that Henry from Alabama would have been a nice little target to pick up in the later rounds if he was still on the board, but I imagine he'll be gone by the end of the second round. And all the wide receivers were drafted were pretty much going the first two rounds also. So I'm not sure how much depth there is left after, say, the first 5 running backs and 8 wide receivers that are drafted as far as what's left. I'm not really looking forward to the end of the draft. Just looking forward to next year as far as who's coming out. But as far as this year, it's like, well, you know, what do? You know, you put everything into this number 2 pick. So the rest of the draft is like, you know, after next Thursday night, the draft is over for me. So I really haven't focused too much on it after this trade.
Neil, what were your thoughts in the later rounds for your Washington Redskins?
Well, I saw quite a lot of depth in the defensive backfield, a huge need for Washington. So that made me select Zach Sanchez, cornerback from Oklahoma, Jaron Kearse, a safety from Clemson, and Mike Jordan, cornerback / safety. I think it would be a safety for Washington from Missouri Western. Always want to get that quarterback, so we took the brother of I think a New England legend, Sudfield. We took his brother quarterback Nate Sudfield, and yeah, we went for a little bit of a reach there, a wide receiver, Robbie Anderson from Temple. I think it was good depth in the middle rounds. I'm disappointed didn't manage to get a center, which is. Every time, you know, Kelly went in the first round, I think Nick Martin went quite high up as well just before us. So we missed out there, and we missed out at linebacker depth. But I was very happy with my draft, and I think Scott McLuhan can probably learn a thing or two if he takes a look at it.
Greg, your thoughts on the later rounds for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I only drafted for my Steelers until the end of the fourth round, because at that point people were nuts. But I really liked my second round pick in Austin Johnson from Penn State. He's a defensive tackle. That's exactly what they needed. And I was really interested in the third and fourth rounds. I was able to get Devontae Booker and Christian Hackenberg. And Hackenberg in the fourth round I thought was a real value, and I thought it was interesting that he fell that far. I don't think that's going to happen in the real draft. But that was a value pick. And Booker, it's kind of my Le'Veon Bell hedge, because apparently Bell can't stay healthy. So I was pretty happy overall with the third round value for him, because I think he's a real up and comer out of Utah there.
Well, we know John Gruden is not a real pundit, but he's said Hackenberg, you'd be surprised if he doesn't go in the first round. Well, get ready to be surprised, John Gruden. It's also why you're sitting in a booth and not on the sidelines. I'm sorry, Justin. Wow. What are your thoughts on the Seahawks?
I'm very happy with the way things went later in the draft for me. Kind of highlights for me is picking up a couple of guys who are sort of the extreme body type sorts. Sherrone Peak, wide receiver out of Clemson. He's very tall, has crazy long arms, and is incredibly fast, running a 4.37 40. The only reason why he's not basically a Julio Jones knockoff is that he has relatively small hands and had a higher drop rate than you want to see. My hope is that if he can work on those things, he can be that big-bodied receiver that my team so desperately needs. After that, I went with a kind of a tight end project, Nick Vannett, who's that classic. He's 6'6", 260 pounds, has huge hands, very muscular, pretty fast for a tight end, has all the physical traits, but his technique is kind of lousy. So he's kind of the project to perhaps either be our new number two or replace Jimmy Graham within a couple of years. So the middle rounds were really kind to me because that's exactly what I was shooting for, was more projects, guys we can develop. And then I just did the classic Seahawks things where I started taking DBs in rounds, five and six, some of which might turn into the next Shermans and Cam Chancellors. The rest might just be depth guys and special team guys, but, all are really valuable contributors.
So after the Rams trade, we did a mock two for at least the first round. I don't even think we finished the first round before the Eagles-Browns trade. But the interesting point in mock two is that obviously the two quarterbacks went one and two. Jalen Ramsey fell from the first overall to the Titans to now the fourth overall to the Cowboys. And there were a couple other big movers. Kevin Dodd being the biggest, moving up eight spots to the Atlanta Falcons in mock two. And the one that I'm really interested in is William Jackson III, who's a cornerback being taken by the Jets. He moved up six spots. On the Jets' obsession with cornerbacks and the fact that their fan base being represented by Andrew being obsessed with corners is interesting as well. What were some of the things that stood out to you guys here in the second round? We'll start with you, Greg.
Well, the first thing on the second mock was, I actually had on the original draft, I actually had the choice between Dodd and William Jackson III, and I went with Dodd. And since then, William Jackson III has really been rising up, so that all the sites that I normally frequent for my Steeler information have William Jackson III as the Steelers' number one preference. And to see him go so high means that I've now set my expectations for the real draft in a week that we are having no shot at either one of these guys. So I thought that was a month ago when we started this whole process, I had my choice of anybody I wanted at the positions I wanted, and now they've all flown off the board just from the moving and shaking.
Neil, what are your thoughts on the mock two?
I think it's impressive that I think we still have the top 14 players. Still in the top 14 positions, not in the same order, obviously, but still there. So I think we're being consistent with who we think are the best players. I'm going to have a little moan about Ezekiel Elliott. Good player, but come on, going number eight in the draft, and I think in mock one he went number 11. No, not a chance. I mean, yeah, get him out of the first round.
Neil's our Mel Kiper Jr.
James, you're the one who took Ezekiel Elliott in mock two. So, what's your thoughts there?
Well, missed mock two, obviously because of the trade. But we won't be taking Ezekiel Elliott when it really comes down to it. I think Elliott will probably end up fourth to the Cowboys when it's all said and done. Be perfectly honest, that's just my opinion. We're definitely going to take a quarterback at this point. That's the only way I can see it going. Moving up for Ezekiel Elliott, that would basically just make this whole draft pointless for the Eagles fans. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Granted, he is a stud of a running back, probably the best prospect between him and Henry coming out of that position. But
not seeing it right now. If he is a first-round pick, first chance he'll go off the board is number four to Dallas. After that, I'm not sure where he'll go. As far as our needs at running back, like I said, no 2 through 5 draft picks this year. So free agency is going to be our best bet. But I haven't had a chance to look at mock two, especially since the trade happened. I haven't even, don't even know what's going to happen after this now.
Justin, you made a trade into the first round for the Seahawks to get Josh Doctson. Were you afraid he wasn't going to fall into the second?
Yeah, obviously I had the benefit of us having just done a mock draft, and that I traded ahead of the team who picked him up last time, so cheating a little bit on that one. But, he's a player I really like, kind of like I was talking about with Sherrone Peak. He's that big, tall, lanky guy. He's not as fast, but he has phenomenal hands and an incredible catch radius. And when you're a team that's mostly made up of short, little fast guys, having that different body type opens a lot of stuff up. One thing I did want to touch on real quick, because I don't think I've sort of thrown my thoughts out there, is Carson Wentz, who I think a lot of people have not mixed feelings, but I think the knock against him is that he went to an FCS school. Just so everybody knows, there's a lot of quarterbacks who have done really, really well who came from the FCS. Steve McNair, Rich Gannon, Kurt Warner, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Joe Flacco, Josh McCown, who's a decent backup, Tony Romo. If him going to the FCS is a concern for you about his pro prospects, don't let it be. Drop that train of thought. Just look at him as any other player, he looks awesome in that perspective.
Dude, perhaps you should be on a sideline.
I agree totally.
And not in a booth. All right. By the way, there's plenty of people saying that I don't even belong behind a microphone. So, and with that said, it's time for us to wrap. Time to wrap things up here. We are going to have another show for you this weekend that will be hosted either by Andrew or by Nick, our chief super fan. I'm not sure when that change is officially happening, but Nick has been hosting the weekend shows and it's been doing a phenomenal job doing so. So look forward to one more show before the draft. And then Friday morning next week, we will not be doing a show on Thursday. There'd be really no point in doing a show before the draft. So on Friday morning, I know, Greg, you're planning on joining me bright and early Friday morning next week, as we will recap what has happened in the first round Thursday night in the NFL draft. And then our guys will be back again Sunday to recap the whole shebang with you. And then after that, it's time for us to start looking at our way too early division previews, where I will go and foolishly pick a team like I did last year in the Atlanta Falcons to be my boyfriends in Oakland. I would be very, very concerned. Because you're very pretty.
Don't do it. Don't do it, Jay.
Anybody have some final thoughts here? Anybody got some final thoughts here?
Yeah, I was just going back to the mock draft and looking there. I see Paxton Lynch is in the lower part of the mock draft. I was wondering from the other guys there and from you, Jay, give me a number where you think Paxton Lynch is going to go next week.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to go with after 25.
Well, that's at least a number. I'm going in the second round, which is also a number.
Whoa.
Yeah. Justin.
I think he's going to Dallas on their second pick, which I think is pick 26.
James?
I would probably say Dallas' second pick or somewhere early in the top 10 of the second round.
Yeah, Neil. I honestly, I know because I talked with Brian about his thoughts on Paxton Lynch and trading back into the late part of the first round to get him. I honestly don't think the Cowboys will do that, but I do think Paxton Lynch will be taken early on day two. I don't believe he's a first round quarterback.
I think we're going to see 2011 all over again, and I think he'll go in the top 15.
Wow. Top 15. Which team? The Browns?
Ooh, wow. I think Denver might come up for him. Maybe the 49ers go down a bit.
Wow. Neil Kuiper Jr. going out on a limb there.
Yeah. Neil Kuiper Jr. and Pod Gruden.
Better than the fish.
I think the show's got legs. All right, ladies and gentlemen, remember, please nominate us for a podcast award. If you like what you heard, if you didn't, well, sorry. Leave us a review on iTunes again, if you like what you heard. And if you didn't, again, sorry. And we'll be back again this weekend. As always, I leave you with Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.
All right, so now we're coming out of the conversation about the draft trade. Hello, son. How are you?
Good.
Good. All right, get out of here.
You guys are running for a podcast award?
We're always running for a podcast award. Get out of here.
Congratulations.
Well, we haven't been officially nominated yet. Gondar post-show clip. Thank you, son.